Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahushua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. The purpose of this program is to go through the Bible, and I guess you could call this Through the Bible for Another Generation, or perhaps Through the Bible for the 21st Century, but it is different than the other Through the Bible program, which I listened to some 20 years ago. It's a lot different. I'm learning a lot more through these studies than was ever revealed then. It's time to move on from the milk of the Word and move into the meat and uncover, overturn every stone to diligently search the Word to find out whatever we can about what our Heavenly Father has written there for us. I don't claim to know it all or have it all revealed to me, but I will share with you what I can share with you as the Heavenly Father, His Holy Spirit, reveals it to me as we go through the Scripture. And likewise, I'd like to hear from you. Any questions, comments, revelations, you can email me at crosstheborder.org. You will find an email link there to email me. Just address the email to Nicholas or for Cross the Border, and I'll make sure that I answer your email on the air if it's appropriate, or personally if it's appropriate, whatever the case may be. We've gone through the book of Genesis. We've gone through the book of Exodus, and we finished up with Exodus yesterday. The normal course of things leads us through Leviticus. And as I was perusing Leviticus this morning, considering the sacrificial and the ceremonial system that was set up for the Levitical priesthood and all of the particulars there, it causes one to wonder, you know, or at least it causes me to wonder, what is the purpose? And as we read into this, you see that this very seemingly complicated ceremonial sacrificial system that's being described for the Levitical priesthood to carry out for the people, for the children of Israel. And causes me to ask the question, why? Why? Well, the Holy Spirit didn't take long to answer the question, why? And it's something that we all take for granted so easily, something that we take so lightly, and that the object being the gravity of our sin, the gravity of our disobedience. And I'm guilty. I do not regard my error so heavily, perhaps as it should be, that I regard it much more lightly than I should. As it seems that we all are, we don't understand the gravity of our error, the gravity of our disobedience, the gravity of our sin. And it's something to contemplate when we realize that all of the problems, all of the suffering of mankind, that all of this springs from disobedience to our Creator. Every tragedy, every sickness, every war, all of the innocent suffering, such as we have innocent that suffer. It's humbling to consider it and take it all in. And I would pray, Heavenly Father, that we become more sensitive to the gravity of our error, and especially the gravity of our disobedience. The cost of it has been so dear, the cost of the disobedience of mankind. We can't all take it all of it on each every one of us, because we all share in it, all the way from Adam and Eve, who ignorantly did what they did, and us being born the children of disobedience. It's in our nature to be disobedient, but we can learn obedience. I mean, our Heavenly Father is so understanding that He allows us the time to choose. He didn't just when the King James translators translated the book of Genesis, and they said, and they wrote it down this way, they said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. You know, bam, that has a sense of immediate and irrevocable judgment of execution, but apparently it was not so. Apparently, our Heavenly Father had a plan, and we know that He did have a plan because He became a man and He walked on the earth and He laid down His life in the flesh for us. That perfect life, that only man that never sinned, that never did any act of disobedience, and the Heavenly Father proclaimed. And this is a mystery when you start talking about the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and people go, well, how could Yahushua, who was God in the flesh, have been forsaken by the Heavenly Father on the cross? And I guess that's as much as a mystery as asking the question of how could he have not been forsaken? So you could ask either question, and there's a mystery there that we cannot fully comprehend, nor can we articulate that mystery to skeptics and unbelievers. But all of us that have his spirit living in us, we understand the mystery in a way that we cannot truly articulate it. And certainly we cannot articulate it to the unbelievers who have no understanding. But we can't stand back in pride and say, well, I have understanding and you don't, because our understanding is a gift from our Heavenly Father. There's nothing that we did to deserve it or to bring it about in ourselves. But that sin that he took on him, yes, that came from us, the gravity of our sin. And that's the point when I start reading in Leviticus and try to understand why the Heavenly Father instructed the children of Israel in this way, and then understanding how we're free from that yoke of the ceremonial and sacrificial priest temple sacrifice system. We're free from that, and we're free only by what the Lamb of God, who was slain from the foundation of the world, what he did by shedding his blood and taking all of that on him. And as we go through it, we have to understand, yes, the gravity of our sin, the weight that is being expressed in the ceremonial and sacrificial system, and how that weight does not even come close to the reality, because the reality encompasses all of the suffering of mankind for all time, all of the disease, all of the genetic mutations, every terrorist act, every evil ruler, and it just goes on and on, the results of the disobedience and the sin of mankind. So that in understanding the gravity of the sinfulness, our own sinfulness, and especially our own disobedience, understanding the gravity of it should cause us to desire a life of holiness. A life, it should cause us to desire a life free from sin as much as it is possible for a mortal man or woman or child to live a life that is holy to our Heavenly Father, to be free from sin. That's the point of understanding the gravity. When I started up my my e-sword this morning, got out my sword and pushed the button, came upon a peculiar passage in Scripture. It's Luke chapter 13 and verse 1, and I'll just start there. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Yahushua, Jesus, answering, said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? Well, you gotta love the King James English, because certainly it's a very concise English, much more concise than the version of English that we practice today. But still, it is a little foreign. Suppose ye that these Gal Do you think that these Galileans were more sinful than you are, because these things happen to them? I guess if I could express it in contemporary terms, that's how I would say it. Okay, so first of all, they brought to him news, something that happened at that season, news about some Galileans. And we don't have the particular on these Galileans. They may have been rebels. They may have got caught up innocently in something. Who knows? And their blood was probably spilled in some type of a Roman, perhaps in a Colosseum or something like that, because it says that their blood was mingled with their sacrifices, referring to Pilate, and their sacrifices to the gods of Rome. So we have a current-day news event. He says, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So the disciples are bringing him some news tidbit, you know, the news of the day, something they just heard on CNN, right? Or on the local news channel. You get the idea, anyway. Okay, and he goes on, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? So here we had some type of a tragedy. A building collapsed and killed 18 people in Jerusalem. The Tower of Siloam. A tower in Siloam. And yeah, that happens all the time. Buildings fall down. People get planes crash. Trains wreck. And he's, you know, Yahshua's getting, he hears the news of the day like everyone else. And you notice he doesn't really spend a whole lot of time commenting on the news of the day. But that's why I thought this was peculiar when I started to read it. And he goes on. So talking about the Galileans who Pilate had caught and mingled their blood with their sacrifices. He says, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He says, I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Or the 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So he's telling them that because tragedy or unfortunate accidents happen to people, that doesn't mean that they were sinners above all people, or because you have hard circumstances in your life. And, you know, there are accusations like that, that, oh, that happened to him because he must have done something terrible. But Yahshua is throwing out that whole pretense or concept here. He's saying, no, they weren't sinners above all. And this fits in perfectly with what I opened this program with, the gravity of sin. And it comforts people to think that others are more sinful than they are, thus minimizing the gravity of their own sin personally. Now he speaks to them a parable. He says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why encumbereth it the ground? Says, cut it down. It's just taking up space. It's good for nothing. Now the vineyard, the dresser of his vineyard, answers and says unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. I'll put fertilizer around it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. That's a funny thing, to have something like this right after talking about these tragedies and how the sin of these people is no greater than those who are still living or who didn't fall into these tragedies. The point is, we need to bear fruit, or unless we repent. And repentance is about bearing fruit. And the whole object, the whole focus of Yahushua's ministry as he traveled about his three and a half years preaching his message, he preached the same message continually. And it was always a kingdom message. And he began by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We ought to pay a little more attention to repenting. It gets to the gravity of sin. We need to understand the gravity of our sin. And what is the fruit? Well, the fruit is learning obedience. And because if we're sinning, we're doing works that are contrary to the will of our Heavenly Father. If we repent, we put off the works of darkness. We put off the works of disobedience, and we learn obedience, and we do the works that He has prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. And we need to fear. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Question your salvation. A little fear and trembling is appropriate when we understand the gravity of sin and the gravity of not turning from our wicked ways and bearing fruit for His kingdom. And His patience is shown here. 3 years, no fruit. But the dresser says, well, look, let's spend a little extra attention with it. Perhaps a little more tribulation and a little more word, a little more watering, a little more dung. You know, dung is not, that's unpleasant stuff. That would represent tribulation. Tribulation to bring about fruit. You cut the vine, you prune the branches, that's tribulation. Pruning isn't fun, especially if it's you being pruned. Dig around your roots. Oh, that's got to hurt, right? Throw some dung in there. Maybe that might sting a little bit. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. It says that He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Okay, we're going to begin our study in Leviticus. The study in Leviticus can be somewhat tedious when you start going through the details of the temple. Priest temple sacrifice system, and it's nothing to bear when we consider the true gravity of our sin. So let's jump into it. And pretty much we're just taking off where we left off yesterday when we finished up, or last time when we finished up Exodus. It's the continuing story from Genesis, Exodus, now Leviticus. If we were to read about the children of Israel, or even mankind from the beginning of time up through the children of Israel, then this is how we would read the novel. We would be just picking up on another part, starting another chapter in the book, in Leviticus 1:1. And Yahuwah called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Remember when we left off, they had just set up the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was the first day of the first month of the second year. And Yahuwah, the Lord, as it says in the King James English, called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. So now we got ourselves fixed in time, 1 year out of Egypt. And he said, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto Yahuwah, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yahuwah. So there was no forced offering here. They didn't go around with a list, and have a check mark by your name if you made your offering this year. And they go down a list and say, well, your name isn't checked. It's time for you to go do your offering. No. This is, he shall bring it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle. And, you know, the sacrifice was always voluntary. And, you know, a lot of people are mistaken. They believe that this is the beginning of the sacrificial system. They believe this is the beginning of animals being sacrificed. But if you were with me through my study in Genesis and Exodus, you find that it wasn't the beginning of the sacrifice. Certainly the Passover was instituted, at least in word, in Egypt. But if we recap briefly, we could say that, well, the first sacrificial event of the ecclesia is covered in chapter 3 of Genesis. Adam and Eve had committed the first act of disobedience to the Creator. They got the ball rolling, and they hid themselves, and they covered themselves with fig leaves. But fig leaves are not alive. they're not life. They don't have the breath of life in them. So they're not living creatures. Certainly, we say plants are alive, but they don't have the breath of life, and they don't shed blood. They were not sufficient to cover sin. So the sacrifice, the offering of the fruit of the ground, being it vegetables or plants or whatever, it did not work then. The high priest shows up. He's walking in the garden, of course, and they say, "The Lord, walking." So apparently he had feet, and he conversed with Adam and Eve, and he drew them out of their hiding place because they were ashamed, because they figured out that they were naked. They covered themselves with fig leaves, but certainly it was not adequate to cover them, the nakedness of their shame. And he clothed them with animal skins. That's the first hint of the sacrifice. Now, those animal skins came off of an animal because the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And certainly, without the shedding of blood, there is no, not even a temporary covering for sin. So that was speaking of the gravity of sin. The gravity was that some animals were sacrificed for the sin of man, for the sin of those two first two, man and woman, and he clothed them with the animal skins. That was the first sacrifice that ever was. Certainly, there was no need for sacrifice before that, and then we know that the sacrifice continued until Cain and Abel, who were taught the sacrifice, and they brought their sacrifices 1 year before Yahuwah. And perhaps when they became of the age of accountability, having worked as the sons of Adam, Cain, of course, working as a farmer, planting vegetables and fruits and bringing in food to eat from the ground. And of course, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and he kept sheep, but for wool, certainly, for the skins of the animals to dress, because they had to continue wearing clothes, and all of Adam and Eve's children, beside Cain and Abel, though Cain and Abel at this point are the only ones that are recorded or that we're told about in the scripture, certainly the Adam and Eve had more children. They were a very healthy couple, no doubt about it. And we'll pick up there when we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere.